Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by and welcome to the Axiata Group's third quarter 2017 results briefing. Throughout the presentation, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a questions and answers session, at which time, if you wish to ask a question, you will need to press star 1 on your telephone. Alternatively, you simply type your question in the Ask a Question box and click Send. If any participant using the webcast option faces technical difficulties during the presentation, please submit your question via the same tool. At this point, we would like to note that the call duration will go for a maximum 90 minutes. It will end by 4 p.m. latest. I would now like to hand the conference over to your speaker today, Tantri Jamnuladen, President and Group CEO. Thank you, sir. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much. Welcome to Axiata Group results for third quarter 2017. So I have with me, I will be doing, as usual, I'm the Group CEO. I'm giving a presentation, followed by Vivek Sood, who will be also presenting on the financials, and he is the Group CFO. We also assisted by Mona, who has just joined us too. So as you can see from slide 2, the result has been pretty good this quarter and year on year. From a year to date perspective, revenue has grown 15%, EBITDA 14.5%, and more encouragingly is that practically all of course have done better than the market. And also the cost savings, the cost optimization program that we have undertaken early this year is bearing very strong results. So as you can see from slide 2, the year-to-date results, Q-on-Q, year-on-year, and year-to-date has been pretty good. Of course, the normalized performance has been not as what we had wanted, primarily because of the IDA performance. We've just talked about it again. Even constant currency, a similar picture can be said. As I've said earlier, the cost optimization program has achieved slightly better than our own expectations. Savings plus avoidance for the year amounted to 960 million, out of which 400 million on capex and 560 million on opex, sorry, 400 million on opex and 560 million on capex. As I said also that this is slightly ahead of our target of 800 million for the year. Our balance sheet has been quite strong at this juncture. We have reduced the gross debt EBITDA from 2.64 from last year to 2.1 at the end of September, and with a cash balance of 6 billion. Again, we'll talk about it later on. And our capex spend is slightly lower than what we had wanted to spend. It amounted to 4.3 billion by September, implying a capex intensity of 24%. So that's the overall picture overall performance of the company. As usual, I will go to one by one, but I assume that you have received the material, the slides before, so I will not go through everything. Just to give you some color for each one of them. So let's start with Telkom on slide 3. As you can see, the Telkom refresh, quote unquote, the code word we use for our turnaround, is very much on track. As you recall, last year we said that the first half we wanted to grow with industry, and second half we wanted to grow higher than industry. So far, exactly has happened based on that plan. So as you can see, the Q&Q revenue, both total and service revenue has grown 2.1% and 1.9% respectively, which is slightly ahead of the market. And the rest, you know, I won't talk about it, but I think in short, we have seen that the Telkom has stabilized its performance, but I will be quick to say that there's so much more work to be done, and our turnaround has far from being completed. Within that, I wanted to highlight, which we can elaborate later on during the Q&A, that the our sales and distribution is still, I would say, something that we still have a lot to work on, but definitely it has improved compared to last year. Network 2 has improved slightly, but not quite to the level we'd like to. On the better side, on the positive side, a lot of work we have done on products and pricing have done. I think we are very much very competitive and arguably better than some of our competitors. Following slide on Excel, the following page, on page 4, Excel has done very well in third quarter in almost every measurement, also against ourselves, against our target, and against the industry. So again, I won't read all of the points here, but I think the main point to note is that the momentum that we have started early this year, after a false start last year, is so far doing very well, and the dual brand strategy so far is doing quite well, and also the network that we have built and our progress at Java has incrementally helped us quite significantly over the last few quarters. Smart, if I can go on with the same slide, Smart have done extremely well. You can see the numbers, year-to-date revenue, EBITDA, and PAT grew 9.3%, 9.4%, and 8.9% respectively. There has been a marked increase in competition towards the end of last quarter. So even despite that, they have done well. We'll talk about the future later on. Moving on to the next slide, slide 5. Dialog never failed to amaze me with its great performance again last quarter. As you can see, the year-to-date revenue, the third quarter and year-to-date revenue grew 5.2% and 8.5% respectively. Overall, almost every part of the company has done well and continue to do well. Last year quarter and third quarter too. Robi has done well too overall, partly because of its operational organic capability and growth, but also because of the successful integration with Airtel. In fact, against our own original integration or acquisition plan, it is just better than our own original plan. So very pleased with the performance so far, and momentum has continued to be very strong, and the performance has been, better than our own expectation. Moving on to the next slide on Ncell. Ncell still going strong, as you can see, but the numbers are pretty good, but we are, of course, quite concerned that ILD has declined slightly worse than our original business plan for this quarter. We definitely, like everybody else, had expected ILD to decline, but again, in this case, more than what our business plan, original acquisition business plan, and our own plan this year. Something to move on, not alarming, but just something that we are very concerned about, quite concerned about. The next slide on 7 talks about other group opcos, e.co. I think the perhaps the first time we talk about e.co as an actual number, but in a form of percentage. So, as you can see from this chart, that e.co now is quite a material part of Axiata, with at the end of year to date 2017, the revenue accounted for 6.2% of our group revenue, and the EBITDA 7.4% respectively. As you know, there's a lot of work has been done, and we hope to announce the completion of the Zenit, which is the acquisition that we have done a couple of months back, and we hope to announce that within the next few months. So stay tuned. With that acquisition, we will have additional 13,000 or so towers, and that makes e.co its largest independent among the world's largest independent tower co. We are very focused on tenancy, as you can see from the slide, that the tenancy ratio has increased from 1.42 to 1.5x. So it has been quite good all around. Again, as mentioned the last quarter, and to some of you privately, that we will be disclosing the pro forma data for EDOTCO when we do the analyst conference during, where was that? 28th of November. So hopefully that some or most of you or all of you will attend the session, and you will especially feature our CEO Suresh in that presentation. Okay, moving along on the same chart, in our digital services, I think we will be also expanding on what we're doing or and what will be what we have done and what we'll be doing on EDS. So we have not quite talked about it except for some cursory comments over the last 2 years or 3 years, but we are ready to present you our new strategy with regards to what we call 3+1 strategy on FinTech, EdTech, IoT, and digital platform. So we will talk about the great experiment that we have doing. We did the last 3 years is over. Now real stuff and bring real results. So that will be pretty interesting. Again, hopefully you can attend the analyst conference next week for us to detail out our plan. It will be very interesting. So this chart looks like more advertising than anything else for the analyst day. The next slide is our associate. So far, so good, except for this chart, I guess you all know, IDEA, way below our own expectation this year, and of course, like many of you, quite disappointed with what's happening, although understandably, given what's happening in the industry. So the main number to note is the loss of 291 million affecting us this year. M1, not too bad. We have still a reasonable revenue growth, although profit has gone down a bit. It's something that we should be concerned but not overly concerned. I'll pass to Vivek, my group CFO, to detail out the financials. Vivek?
Very good afternoon, all of you. Just on the slide where the financial numbers are being displayed. Start with revenue. You see a quarter-on-quarter growth of 2.4%. I think the growth has been seen across all operations of ours. The best performers have been Indonesia, Sri Lanka, and Bangladesh. Really good. EBITDA margin has grown by 8.9%. I think effect of some of the actions being taken on the cost side has yielded these results. Strong EBITDA performance coming from Indonesia, 10% growth. Sri Lanka, 15.6% growth, and Bangladesh, which is actually given a 45% EBITDA growth, largely coming from the benefits derived from the integration of Airtel and Robi brands. The EBITDA margin has seen improvement for us compared to what it was last quarter. Depreciation is pretty much in line with the growth and coming from fact that we continue to invest in our CapEx across all markets. Finance costs has lowered down essentially because of paring down of debt. So we see our balance sheet much stronger now compared to what it was at the beginning of the year as well as previous quarter. On the profitability, I'll just jump to normalized PATAMI. It's been pretty much in line with last quarter. However, as Nanshi mentioned earlier, there has been a negative impact of IDEA performance in the quarter. So that basically downplays the EBITDA, PATAMI performance for the year, for the quarter. As far as return on investments are concerned, I think it's pretty much in line with our guidance earlier, at 4.7%. CapEx at 24% is in line with what we were in last year same time on CapEx intensity. So we continue to invest in operations, albeit a little bit slower than our expectations for this year. And also given a strong performance on EBITDA, we are seeing a strong cash flow generation for us in the quarter and on the year-to-date basis at 1.3 billion cash for us. If I can jump onto the next slide, I think this is the PATAMI reconciliation last year versus this year. So if you see, if you normalize some of the elements, the largest difference is on the operations side, which is essentially explained by the performance of IDR, which has impacted this year's profitability. The delta impact compared to last year is around 371 million. So it's pretty much the entire gap has been explained by the IDR losses, which has been consolidated into our results for this year so far. If I can jump into the next slide, I think CapEx intensity, as I said earlier, we remain at 24% for the on year-to-date basis. Strong cash generation for us coming from the EBITDA improvement during the year. And as far as CapEx is concerned, we would see some increase in CapEx over the last quarter to catch up on the shortfall, which was lower than what was planned during the year. If I can jump onto the next slide, which talks about the balance sheet. As I said earlier, we've seen a strong improvement in the balance sheet around 2.6 times gross debt to EBITDA beginning of the year to around 2.1 times. So we are fairly comfortable at the levels where our balance sheet is. And this is on gross debt basis. If you look at the cash, I think we have a fairly heavy cash position, which is at this point in time across different markets. As far as our borrowings is concerned, half of our borrowings are in US dollars, and half of that is hedged. So I think given the current market, we are fairly comfortable on the current level of hedge that we have in on our borrowings. So if I can go on to the last slide here, I think we did give a guidance earlier. Pretty much where we are is in line with what our original guidance was on all parameters. As far as CapEx is concerned, I think we should be looking at around 6.6 to 6.8 billion ending the year as CapEx spent. I think just the last slide, while we see a quarter performance fairly strong across markets, we do believe there are caution in quarter four, specifically coming from the Indonesian market where the SIM registration will start effective 1st of November, which will early days to see the impact, but which has slowed down the acquisition in those markets. We also see further deterioration in the competitive landscape in India. As you know, the interconnect, which has been from beginning of this quarter, will have a further impact on the IDR profits for last quarter, and there continues to be a pricing pressure both in Indonesia and Cambodia. Cambodia continues for a while. I think being smart as a business is doing well to deal with the pressure, but we expect that to continue. As far as Indonesia is concerned, we are seeing intensity growing in the last 3 months on the pricing side. As planned, we do see ILD revenues in Nepal coming down, so it's not something that's a surprise for us, but this does have an impact on our quarter-to-quarter performance for us, because ILD revenue comes with fairly strong margins. So that's, I think, it from me. Thank you. Now we open up for Q&A.
Thanks, Vivek.
We will now begin the question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press the pound or hash key. Similarly, for those of you using the webcast, simply type your question in the ask a question box and click send. We will now take our first question from Wishi Wu from BNP Paribas. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hello, thanks very much. First question relates to India. I noted management's comments about the expectation that competition will deteriorate. I'd like to get your thoughts on why you think things will become more severe given, impending or ongoing market consolidation, and how does this impact your position on capital allocation in this market? Secondly, in terms of Cellcom, I know that the data usage has grown significantly. What consumption behavioral changes have you seen in the past 3 quarters to have driven the significant increase in usage? And related to this, why then has data as a percentage of Cellcom's revenues stagnated sequentially in third quarter? And then finally, in terms of Indonesia, in terms of SIM registration, how is Excel, how will Excel manage the SIM registration, and what type of operators do you think will be most impacted by this trend?
Thank you. I'll get Vivek to answer the first question, Azwan to answer the second, and Adlan, you're there, to answer the third question. So, Vivek?
Yeah, I think as far as India is concerned, I think my comment was more on quarter four. I think long-term consolidation should help the market. So we have a long-term view, but the short-term view is the impact which is what happened because of the interconnect rates which came down in India. We expect that to have a negative impact on Idea, which is an incumbent in the market. So my comment was more in context with the short-term impact of quarter four.
And also impact to capital allocation.
Yeah, so as far as I think capital allocation is concerned, I think we said earlier that given the fact that once the merger happens, we will be diluted below 10%. It's not a strategic investment for us as such. So we are looking at new capital allocation towards India. However, from a larger impact, we do look at our overall portfolio every year to see how the capital needs to be allocated.
To be sure, the comment on further deterioration is regards to RIC. So, compared to third quarter, fourth quarter, I don't think we have any media comments whether it's going to be worse or bad. All we're saying is that, however, there is a risk that it can deteriorate, but it doesn't mean there will be. Just clarify that. So, Cellcom?
Yeah, hi. Okay, in essence, you asked about behavioral changes. Now, in terms of voice usage, it's hardly changed. It's pretty stagnant over the past 3 quarters. In terms of data usage has doubled or more than doubled year on year. So right now the average consumption per data user is 7.1 GB. This was 3.3, I believe, 12 months ago. Now to the question of why data stagnated, to be honest, it didn't really stagnate. We are up by, Jen, what, 3%? But I need to caution a bit. The split between data and voice is, to a large extent, academic, because increasingly, especially on our postpaid plans, data and voice are bundled together. I hope that answered the question.
Yeah. Okay. On the third question on the registration. So I think if you look at, we are probably now on the 20th day of the SIM registration since it was introduced, right? So I think what we have seen in the market today is there's a lot of confusion in terms of this SIM registration. There's a lot of disruption that's also happening in the market as well, partly due to the infrastructure, the government infrastructure that was probably set up. I think there's a lot of capacity issue that people are facing today. Hence, I think you probably see in some retailers, you probably see some long queues of people trying to get to do the registration. At this point in time, I think in terms of how I think the government is still trying to refine the process. There's been numerous meetings with the regulators on this, trying to expand the capacity, especially to the central database. And I think they are also doing a lot of tweaking in terms of the regulation as it stands today. I think who's going to be impacted, typically under this SIM registration, I think we've seen in most markets, especially Indonesia, the rotational churn guys are probably going to be coming down as a result of the SIM registration. And I think the impact would probably be across the industry, right? So it's still too early to see how this enforcement of prepaid registration is going to pan up. But essentially, is I think we've seen so far in the first 20 days quite a fair bit of disruption in terms of the trade. And I think government is still trying to refine. So how this is going to be impacting the market up to end of this year or even to next year, I think it's still too early to tell, depending on how this prepaid registration is going to be enforced.
Thank you. Just a follow-up on the Cellcom question. So I understand your data usage has grown up quite a lot. So my question is specifically, in terms of usage, specific usage of data, what do you think has driven that sudden increase? Do you think it's because of the way you are packaging your services, or have you seen any behavioral changes, like a sudden increase in video streaming, for instance?
Good question. I think if you look at the trends year on year, in general, they're doubling year on year. So I think the bulk of the usage, 70-80% is video. We have done some things in terms of new bundles and new packages to actively drive increases in data consumption. We've launched recently a pack that we've called Video Wallah, which is unlimited video for, I believe it's 8 or 10 ringgit per week. So that's been pretty successful. So to summarize, you know, the smartphone penetration has increased a bit, but I think it's more that, you know, people are just increasingly consuming more and more data for video.
Thank you very much.
Your next question comes from Arthur Pineda from Citigroup.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. Hi, can you hear me? Hello?
Yes, we can.
Okay, great.
Go ahead, we can hear you.
Okay, great, thank you. Several questions for me. Firstly, can you talk about the Sri Lanka tower tax? Is that now fully implemented or is that still under negotiation? Second question I had is with regard to CAPEX of 6.6 billion. Is that still on track, or are you finding savings materializing on this side? I'm not sure if this was discussed earlier, but the line was a bit choppy. Third question I had is with E.co. It seems that the margins have been declining for the last two quarters. What's been driving this? And last question I had is with Excel. I'm just wondering on your concern on SIM registration, how should this actually impact the growth momentum for the industry? Presumably, the revenue-generating subscribers will continue to spend. It's basically the dormant stock, which could be shaken out. Thank you.
Thanks, Arthur. Dr. Hans, our original CEO for South Asia, is on the line. He's in Cambodia right now. Doctor, are you there?
Hope you can hear me.
Yes, we can hear you. Go ahead. The question on tower tax.
Yeah, so the status is that at present it is a budget proposal.
Dr. Hans, we lost you. Okay, let me just complete. I'm not sure what happened. The tower tax was proposed.
Yeah,
okay. But, yes. Yes. Okay, go ahead, Dr. Hans.
So, taxes still at fourth stage has not been made law, and the industry is lobbying stroke negotiating with the government.
So, not implemented in under negotiation for the first answer.
That's right.
And this is supposed
okay, Vivek,
to be the if I may take the second question.
Yeah, sorry. Wow. Sorry, just loop back on the first one. It's 200,000 SLR per tower. Is that what's being proposed?
Can you hear us? Yeah, the answer is yes. What the proposal is yes, 200 rupees.
Understood. Okay. Okay. So, sorry, the second question was on the CAPEX, the 6.6 billion. Is that still on?
Yeah, I think, yeah, so as I said, you know, we're still tracking towards the 6.6 billion CAPEX, which we had. It's obviously lower than what we had.
Sorry, Vivek, can you proceed?
Yeah, so I think we're still tracking on the six.
Just go ahead.
So we are still tracking on the 6.6 billion, which is what we have given the initial guidance. Yes, we did take up the guidance last quarter to a higher amount because we were expecting the license or the new spectrum stroke tech neutrality to come in place in Bangladesh. We would have, but that's been delayed. So we're still on 6.6 billion as it stands.
So anything on digital savings? Or just delay?
I think it's just a delay in CAPEX.
Okay, on the third question, Suresh?
Yeah, no problem. This is Suresh on the auto. The margin is declining for three main reasons. One is there's always a seasonality impact in Q2 and Q3 with spike loan season, so your costs go up during that period. The second reason is there's a number of one-offs and catch-up provisions need to be made, an example of which is we have some site regularization costs in Malaysia, and we these are for some past sites that are already in operation, and we provide the provision applications for the funds. The third reason is we have 700 towers from the Tanzanite tower transaction in Pakistan, the first transaction, and those are integrated in three. And that's partially, that's a much dilutive business at this point in time because of the small size of the business, and that will go away when we have the larger transaction completed. Thank you.
Thanks. Adlan, you want to take up the last question?
Okay. Yes. Yeah, I think on the your fourth question on SIM registration, I think Arthur, when we actually look in the trends in other markets, right, with markets quite similar to Indonesia with high rotational churners, right, typically what we see in most of these markets, in the first year of the implementation of SIM registration, there is probably slow down in the industry growth per se, right? In the first year, but subsequently you probably see recovery and a much stronger recovery coming in year two onwards, right? So SIM registration would probably be impacted probably in the year one, but I think it's going to be positive for the industry from year two, the mid and longer term, right? Who is going to be impacted? I think typically is the rotational churner. So what you're probably going to see that the number of the rotational churners will come down. They will consolidate their SIM cards from the multiple that they probably have into probably one or two, right? So the good news is you probably see churn rate coming down. You probably see your SWI more than 3 months will probably increase. But in terms of revenue generating from these rotational churners overall will come down slightly. Also due to the fact that I think typically in most of the markets that we have analyzed as well, in period of prepaid registration, operators do see opportunity to probably gain market share, right, or to get market share from the rest. So typically in a situation of a SIM registration, you see that operators are a bit more aggressive than usual, and you would expect, for example, that there probably be some impact on yield, and hence I think that's probably going to drive a little bit more competition, and hence that's probably going to drive the going to be impacted on the industry overall, right? So I think at least essentially just taking guidance from some of the other markets, we've seen trends that at least in year one, if prepaid registration is properly enforced, I think there probably going to be impact in the market in year one, but subsequently, I think you'll probably see some recovery, even stronger recovery in year two onwards.
Understood. Thank you very much.
I'd love to thank you.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Ranjan Sharma from JP Morgan. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi, good afternoon, and thank you for the presentation. Three broad questions from my side. Firstly, in your analyst day last year, you disclosed your strategy of driving industry restructuring and rationalization across your portfolio. Is there any update on that, and if that remains a key part of your strategy? The second one is on looking at the data usage, especially in Malaysia. I mean, we have always defined capacity in terms of peak hour, but are you seeing a shift in consumer behavior that this peak hour has actually become peak a few hours, that the peakiness has reduced, and that's why you're seeing this increasing data usage, while the CapEx has not increased so much? The last question is on Robi EBITDA. You see a strong growth quarter on quarter. Is there any one-offs in there? I'll stop here. Thank you.
Okay, thank you for the question. On the first one, there's no change in the strategy per se. Of course, to be very frank, it's not happening the way I had wanted from a timing perspective. So to be more precise, we talk about what we have done in Cambodia, Sri Lanka to some extent, and Robi, and so on. But we were hoping to see a bit more consolidation in Malaysia, Indonesia, and Sri Lanka. So last year, to be very frank, I was hoping, and I thought, because a lot of discussion had been happening already by then, that something would happen this year. So unfortunately, no. At least in the three countries, at least no. Not just us, but among the players, as far as I know. So that's the update. So we'll probably can update further when we have a session next week. For the second question, Azwan.
Yeah, hi. So short answer is the peak hours have not changed. Peak hours typically are around 9 p.m. till midnight, and then it drops off after midnight. We did have a plan a long time ago where we were giving away free nighttime data between midnight to 6 a.m. So I believe there was a new peak at 1 a.m. But I think that entire initiative was revenue diluting because people were just deferring their spend to midnight hours. So, so in essence, no change to peak.
On the last point on EBITDA growth, I think there was, we had, if you recall, last year said that we would probably, by quarter three, neutralize the impact of Airtel losses coming from Airtel. So I think that's where the plan, which was on getting the synergies in place post-merger, I think is yielding into the improvement in EBITDA. However, I must say that there is one or two one-offs. If I didn't do those one-offs, then the EBITDA growth would be around 30% quarter on quarter.
Sorry, Vivek, your voice tapered off. What would have been the growth quarter and quarter without the one-offs?
So it'll be 30%.
30.
Yeah, there have been some reversals of provisions. If I remove that, it'll be a 30% growth.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from Ping Shan Fung from CIMB Malaysia. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi. Thanks for the call and congrats on the good set of numbers. Four questions from me. Firstly, on Celcom, on the cost side, big drops in the network costs. Any one-off there? And is the network cost in the quarter the run rate going forward? Also, I noticed that the direct costs as a percentage of revenue fell below 20% for the first time. What's driving that? Secondly, on Celcom as well, the ARPUs for prepaid and postpaid are improving on a Q-on-Q basis, and that's good to see. But the subs are still declining. So how should we look into that? Is that a worrying trend, or is that just rotational churn? And then third question on the CapEx side, Celcom CapEx still very low year to date. How should we look at this? What's causing that the low CapEx? And any possible impact on the network from that? And last question on Robi in Bangladesh. You said that the integration of Airtel is coming along nicer than expected. Has it reached EBITDA break-even? Or are we still on track for that to happen in the fourth quarter? Thank you.
So, Azwan, first two. And first three.
Okay, hi.
Hi,
I'm Jennifer here. The first question is on the big drop in terms of the network cost. I think, to be fair, the last two quarters, I mean, we have been incurring pretty high network costs in the past because there was a couple of one-offs that we need to catch up then. Going forward, we think that the network cost that we actually have is going to be the run rate going forward. That's one. In terms of direct cost, yes, there is a one-off adjustment that we have actually made in this quarter in relation to some provisions that we have actually made and for the commitment. And once we actually knew that the actual amount is as such, and hence then, that's why we actually made reversal in this quarter. I hope that answers the question one for you. And then I'll try to answer question three as well. The CAPEX for Celcom until September is still pretty low. But we think that by year end we should be able to catch up, and we should be landing in the range of about maybe 1.2 or 1.3.
So maybe if I just talk about post and prepaid a bit more holistically. So if you look at the prepaid numbers, and I think it's in the detailed posting on the Axiata website, we had a pretty good quarter actually. So we grew revenues by 3.7% Q-on-Q, and that was the highest in the industry. As you point out, the ARPUs were up by 2 ringgit, so that's pretty healthy. But when you look at the prepaid. When you look at the prepaid numbers in terms of what's published, it's a wee bit misleading. So numbers at end of Q2 were 7.0 million. At Q3, they were down to 6.8 million. So strictly a 200,000 decline. But what's not shown in the numbers is we had a cleanup of 230,000, which were dormant subs. So these are subs who were dormant for, I believe, 1 or 2 years, not revenue generating at all. So I guess if you take that into account, in effect, our prepaid numbers were up by 30,000. Hope that's clear. I'll just pause if there's any questions on that or you need me to repeat.
Yeah, that's very clear.
Okay, so on postpaid? Yeah, so I'll talk about postpaid then. Now, postpaid, as you see the numbers are what the numbers are. Unfortunately, postpaid numbers are down. The good news is that ARPUs on postpaid are up. Now, clearly, a lot of the churn that we're seeing is really the legacy plans, pre the first plans. So the legacy plans with an average spend of 50 ringgit, those are churning to competitors. So what we're doing, and unfortunately we've been a bit late in doing this, is really to significantly enhance the legacy plans. We're in the midst of doing it. The first batch was enhanced, I believe, 3 weeks ago. So it's still pretty early days to see whether that helps retain the customers. But that's what we're doing to retain customers. At the same time, we've further enhanced our postpaid plans over the past 3 weeks. We are giving away promotion until end of this year, 100 GB of video surfing. And that seems to be working, so the numbers in the past few weeks are up compared to before. So clearly, I think the story is prepaid. We are doing pretty well. And despite the challenges in terms of sales distribution, I think efforts are starting to bear fruit. postpaid is an area where we were very strong for the first couple of quarters this year. We are seeing some pressure on the numbers, but we are working on fixing that. Yeah, hope that answers.
Answer? No. Okay, now last question on Ruby. Let me answer on two bases. One is what was the EBITDA margin before the acquisition of or the merger with Airtel? I think when I look at quarter three last year versus quarter three this year, we see a positive impact on overall EBITDA margins, explained by obviously growth, but also synergies getting into the play. So in that sense, the losses which were coming from Airtel have already been taken care of, synergies and the impact of the market momentum. Second is on a standalone basis, when I look at Airtel alone, we look at their margins on a standalone also. So there also we are seeing a positive EBITDA for Airtel. So both cases, I think the losses in that sense from Airtel are now behind us.
Okay, thank you so much for that. I just have two follow-up questions. Yeah, that's very clear, Vivek. I've got two follow-up questions. Firstly, for Jennifer, you mentioned that the direct cost, there's some adjustments there. So I'm just wondering whether you mean one-offs, and is the EBITDA margin, overall EBITDA margin for Celcom, third quarter, is that sustainable? And secondly, second question regarding some news about VAT unpaid taxes at Robi. Any comments on that? Thank you.
Jennifer here. In relation to the direct cost, in relation to the direct cost, this is a one-off, that is in relation to a cost that we have actually booked in previously in our books. But once we actually got an advice on the actual amount, and hence that's why we actually made the reversal. The adjustment is a one-off, and it won't be recurring. In terms of EBITDA for Q3, because of the one-off adjustment, the EBITDA margin has actually improved slightly. As to whether the number is actually sustainable, we think that the EBITDA should range quite close to a bit sub 40, but it's actually quite close to 40.
The last question on the VAT unpaid taxes at Robi, there are few of those tax issues which are there in Bangladesh. I think these are all explained in the list of legal cases we have, which is part of the filing. But I think the stand, as far as the industry stand is concerned, I think we're all at, on the same basis.
Okay, got it. Thank you so much, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from Roshan Rajay from Bank of America Merrill Lynch. Please ask your question.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. Three questions. First on competition, what are the current trends and outlook for both Malaysia and Indonesia? Second, you mentioned that there are still some challenges in sales and distribution for Celcom. Could you describe a bit more about it? And third, what are the specific areas where you are getting these cost benefits in OPEX and CAPEX, and why could you not get these benefits in the past?
Okay, I'll take the Celcom questions. So in terms of the trends in Malaysia, I'm not sure if you're talking about specifically the past quarter or in general. Russia?
Yeah, in general, prepaid versus postpaid, what are the trends you see in pricing and promotion?
Yeah, let me think how to summarize this. So in terms of postpaid, there's a lot of competition at the 50 ringgit level. So if you divide the market into two camps,
ourselves and Maxis play at the high end. So our lowest price plan, similar to Maxis, is at the 80 ringgit level, and we don't do much below. All of the rest, you know, Digi, U-Mobile, the likes, really play at the 50 ringgit level. So coming back to my point earlier about churn, a lot of our legacy low-end customers are at risk of being churned to these guys. In terms of prepaid, again, you know, there's a lot of competition. There's a lot of, I guess, confusing packages in the market. You know, we go to market with a very clean, simple offer, and we believe that's one of the reasons why we're doing pretty well. In terms of the distribution challenges, again, you know, we came from a position of severe weakness, and if you walk around KL or even any of the major cities in Malaysia 1 year ago, you would probably not see hardly any Celcom signage at all. We've embarked on a pretty major program over the past 12 months, and now we have trade visibility in, I believe it's over 4,000 dealers. So there's still an issue around trade confidence. There's an issue around, as much as our IT systems have been significantly improved since 3 years ago, there are still issues in terms of user friendliness and stability. So there's a lot more that needs to be done. I think we've come a long, long way from last year. You know, we had problems around dealers, around trade disciplines, you know, whether our salesmen were really even walking the streets. So a lot of people issues. What we've done since then, we've replaced half of our regional managers. Within some regions, we've replaced up to half of the district sales managers. So there's a lot that's been done in terms of automation, a lot that's been done in terms of people, a lot that's been done in terms of trying to rebuild the trade confidence. But are we the telco of choice when it comes to dealers operationally? You know, I'd probably say not yet. So I think, you know, we've got a vision that by the middle of next year, we want to be the telco that's easiest to deal with. So I hope that answers. We've done a lot, but to the standards that we want to achieve, to be really best in class, undoubtedly, we have a lot more work to be done. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, it's very helpful. Just two follow-up. Yeah, first one on the 50 ringgit price point where there's a fair bit of competition in postpaid. What is your general view? You would let those customers move to competition, or you are making an effort to move them up to higher value or higher price plan, but for higher data usage?
Correct.
What's so the approach there?
Yeah, that's a very good question. Yeah, sure. Very good question. So, you know, we've done a lot of surveys, and we've had experience in the past where we've come in and cut prices, and the main effect there is that people just downgrade. So as much as we are losing customers, what we've been doing over the past couple of months is actually introducing even higher price plan packages. So we've stopped subsidizing devices at 80 ringgit. Now it only happens on 90 ringgit and above. And pretty positive results. So I think especially over the past 2 months, you see a lot of people upgrading from 80 ringgit to 98 ringgit. Approximately 50% of our ads are at the 98 ringgit level versus the 80 ringgit level. So I think that's pretty positive, and it contributes to an increasing ARPU. If we introduce a 50 ringgit price plan, I think the concern is that a lot of the 80 ringgit customers will downgrade, and even though we retain subs, it would be negative. Having said that, clearly we do not want to lose subs. We want to retain the subs as well. I kind of mentioned earlier, what we are in the midst of doing is significantly enhancing the legacy price plans. So hopefully that's a reason for customers to stay on our network and not churn. But we're still very much in the early days. We've only started doing that 3 weeks ago, so you know we can't really show results yet. Yeah.
Thanks. On the second response with regard...
Sorry, can you repeat?
So the second bit
Roshan?
About the... Yeah, the second bit where you said IT issues are more or less resolved, but some possibly some lingering problems there. Who was the IT kind of who provided you the IT systems for all this? Just curious to know.
It's a mix of the vendors, to be honest, right? So there's no particular vendors. You know, we deal with all the big names. But just to be quite clear about the IT issues, you probably recall 3-4 years ago we had major IT issues, right, which contributed to the mess we're in. So when I say we've got some IT issues now, it's nothing close to that. It's just, you know, user friendliness, not best in class. One of the good things that we've done in the past 3 months, we've moved all our dealers to fully automated tools where, for example, to register a customer, they don't need to fill in any forms. You just scan the IC and everything else is automated. So close to all 8,000 of our dealers are on that system. So I think we've made a lot of progress in the past 12 months, but are we where we need to be in terms of, you know, having the best user experience and, you know, the best in class IT systems? Not yet. Hope that explains.
Okay. Yeah, thanks.
Last question that you had, Roshan, which was on the OPEX and CAPEX saving. I think we did say in the beginning of the year that there's going to be a very concerted effort on OPEX and CAPEX saving this year and for the next 3 years. And I think they started with very clear direction and work on identifying benchmarking against the external best-in-class costs across the industry, and then identifying which are the initiatives, projects we need to carry out, which has a large gap between the best-in-class and where our cost structure is. So it's not one area, it's a multiple areas coming from that benchmarking exercise which each of the operations took in place. These are covered both in terms of tactical and the structural cost. Structural costs are still not there. I mean, we're still working on that, but most of them are tactical costs coming out of renegotiation of some of the contracts. Specifically, large vendors on network, I think we renegotiated contracts, putting the Axiata procurement center in the front, renegotiating across the group on some of those contracts. So I think it's a mix, but a large list of OPEX or identified initiatives across operations looked at in a very concerted way, identifying opportunities in the best class and then delivering on those. In terms of value, I think network would obviously fall the highest in terms of contribution, and followed by elements on sales and distribution, customer service. So we have renegotiated some of the contracts on call centers across the group, which has also put on the cost for us.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Roshan.
Yes. Thanks.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Alex Goh from AM Bank. Please ask.
Thanks.
Your
I've got a four. Thank you. I have four questions. The first one is regarding Celcom's prepaid. You mentioned that you remove the dormant users or inactive users. Your numbers would be up 30,000. I just want to have a feel. How much more percent of the dormant users account for your prepaid base, so that we can see at least how much more will your the trajectory of the decline in the prepaid users. The second question is on the postpaid Celcom users. You mentioned also the legacy plans are also part of the churn issue. How much more of that legacy plans constitute your postpaid base, all right, so that we can also see how much more the decline in the base is going to amount to. Third question I would like to ask regarding your Robi, the individual numbers seems very strong in terms of your revenue as well as your EBITDA, but yet your normalized numbers is showing a loss. I'm just wondering why is that so? And the fourth question is regarding the international long distance revenue, the ILD revenue in Nepal. It's falling, and I just want to know why is that, and what measures are you deploying in order to mitigate the impact?
Okay. Azwan?
Yeah. Okay, so in terms of the, I guess, the plans that were purged, and not all of these are dormant, clearly. So these were plans that we introduced up to 12 years ago, where people were able to keep their number until they reached, I think, 21 or 25. So we've got roughly 700,000 people on those plans. I can't tell you right now how many are really dormant, which is why we do the purging as and when, you know, every quarter or so. In terms of the legacy plans, there's on postpaid, there's roughly 1 million subs on old legacy plans. Now, again, just to be clear, we're not saying that the legacy plans are not competitive. All I'm saying is that we are seeing the bulk of churn really coming from those legacy plans. But like I said, we do believe that, you know, by significantly enhancing the plans, we should be able to retain the customers.
Let me take the third question, which is on the strong EBITDA margins and revenue of Robi. However, the pact still shows loss. I think, first of all, we've been investing quite heavily in Bangladesh to take the data leadership, so which has an impact on the cost for us. Second issue is that, you know, in terms of our earlier guidance, we had said the PAT impact over after the merger will fall. I mean, we will start seeing positive impact coming in end of 2018, actually. So I think we are pretty much in line with that. The third issue is there have been some deferred tax credit adjustments, which also has an impact on the PAT line.
Okay,
Dr. Harsh,
you're back online for question number four. Dr. Hans, you're back online for question number four.
Okay. Regarding the ILD revenue. Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead, Hans. Yeah. So the ILD revenue in Nepal, it's been falling. I just want to know why and what are the measures you're employing in order to mitigate the impact?
The drop in ILD is twofold. One is the natural decline due to increased OTT usage. The second factor is price competition between triggered mainly by our main competitor in Nepal. So on both these fronts, we are taking several actions. One is a collaborative approach to ensure that there is the levels of competition in external markets, for example, in the Middle East, is curtailed to a cost-plus basis, which I believe will lead to a more rational IDD pricing environment for incoming calls. On the bypass of traffic, which is also rampant, several measures are being taken for fraud control and bypass control in order to capture a maximum share of the incoming traffic. So there is a natural trend, but as you mentioned, all efforts have been taken to reduce the decline.
Regarding the legacy plan for Telkom. Sorry? Hello? Yeah, regarding the legacy plan. Hello. Regarding the legacy plans for Hello. For Cellcom's legacy plans.
We can hear you, Alex.
Okay. For the postpaid segment in Cellcom, the legacy plans. What was the proportion again? I couldn't quite catch the number that was mentioned earlier.
Yeah, there's roughly 1 million.
1 million. Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks, Alex.
Yeah.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Srini Rao from Deutsche Bank. Please ask your question.
Hi, Shini here. So thank you very much. I have a first on Malaysia. You know, you have always talked about the need for consolidation, and as you said, it has not happened. Any signs that it will happen going forward? I mean, we don't see the competitive atmosphere deteriorating to an extent where probably it can happen. Do you see that? Secondly, I mean, in the context of the 700 megahertz spectrum beauty parade, what is your expectation? That will be helpful. Third, on XL, you know, just want to check what are your thoughts with respect to T-Cell, Telkomsel getting a large chunk of 2300 spectrum and the fact that they now have a fairly large 4G BTS capacity. So do you see Telkomsel being much more competitive on data going forward, and hence that kind of reduces your headroom? Those are my questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Why don't we start the easy one, number 2 and 3 first?
Yeah, I mean, it's an easy question. Okay, so in terms of the process, there's a process underway, as you're aware, to allocate 8 blocks of paired 5 megahertz, 700 spectrum. The current status is bids from all of the telcos. It's a beauty parade, by the way. The price has been announced, 118 million per block and 50 million recurring per year. There's a beauty contest underway. Submissions are due to the regulator by 1st of Jan, with the view that results should be announced by end of Q1 next year. I can't answer in terms of what our expectation is. It clearly depends on the process and how successful we are in the beauty contest. Not the best answer, but that's all we know.
Adlan, can you answer the third question?
Yeah. So I think definitely, I think T-Cell winning the 2300 spectrum would probably give them a little bit of a lot of capacity to play with regards to 4G, right? So, and I think that on a realistic basis, that's probably going to come into effect probably by the third or fourth quarter next year, right? So, how would that impact XL? I think if you look at the spectrum that we have, the traffic that we're handling today, I think we should be able to take us through even with such an aggressive data assumption over the next 2 to 3 years, right? Bear in mind as well, there are more spectrums that's probably coming in probably in 2019-2020 with regards to probably 26 or even 700, right? So yes, it's probably going to give Telkomsel a lot more capacity in handling 4G data moving forward. However, from our perspective as well, I think we probably have enough headroom with our existing spectrum that we have to probably handle even such an aggressive data growth over the next 2 to 3 years. Right. So yes, market could potentially be competitive. If Telkomsel also decides to be aggressive in driving this forward. But I think one thing that you probably need to bear in mind that I think they've got a 60% market share overall, and any aggression, for example, would probably have a bigger impact on the incumbent versus everyone else.
Thanks. On the first question, actually, I don't know how to answer the question because I know last year I was more confident than today, if you ask me, about that happening. I guess a couple of things has happened, right? There's a bit of status quo here. At the same time, the reforming of the spectrum and I can't detail out, but reforming of spectrum probably have, and the expectation of all parties have caused the whole thing to be stalled for some time. And if you ask me today, I'm much less optimistic that this will happen in the near future
compared to I was last year. So things have changed quite a lot, I think. And I think as much as I can, I have to admit, I'm not very sure what any conversation people have aside from ourselves, but it seems to be different expectations that make it difficult for any consolidation to happen. At least.
I just had one more question. On Robi, you mentioned, I think that excluding the one-off, is the margin would have been 30%. Am I correct? Not growth. I think that was the comment which Vivek made.
Not margin. Sorry, the EBITDA growth would have been 30% on quarter-on-quarter basis. The margin would have been around 19%.
Understood.
Sorry,
okay. Okay, excellent.
20%. Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. This is helpful.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Piyush Shudhari from HSBC. Please ask your question.
Yeah, hi, good afternoon. Thanks for the call and congratulations for a great set of EBITDA growth. Firstly, on Bangladesh, could you comment on the market growth outlook which you see going into 2018? And secondly, considering now the integration with Airtel is almost complete, could you give us an update on the 1 to 2 year horizon EBITDA margin targets for Robi? Thirdly, on Celcom, can you update us on the LTE coverage, population coverage that you have and gap against market leader and what are the objectives for 2018 and 19 and your utilization during the peak hours? Thanks.
Maybe Dr. Hans, do you want to answer the first two questions? Yes, please.
Yes. So on the Bangladesh market, we are seeing 7 to 8% growth this year, and we would expect the same levels of growth in the coming year. Of course, the discontinuity would be the 4G license when it takes place, and we would see some market change if that were to happen before the beginning of next year. Robi's margins. Just to give you a high-level indication, given the success of the integration, we would be looking at high 20s in the next year or so.
Azwan? Michael?
Yeah, Michael here. The question on the LTE population coverage, we are at 82% at the moment, catching up to 85 at the end of the year, and then for next year, we target 89%, which will put us at equal with market leader. In terms of utilization, obviously this is a moving number, and we are enhancing capacity all the time. In average, I would say at the moment it's about 30%.
But considering the phenomenal data surge which you had in terms of usage, I'm more, you know, looking at what's the peak hour utilization. Are you looking at capacity issues and would we see an uptick in CAPEX spend going next year to handle the capacity?
Yeah. We have the 30% is peak hour already if you look into LTE. But obviously, this is a constant undertaking to upgrade capacity all over the network. So part of the CAPEX spend, maybe Jennifer has a number, I don't know, last year was obviously related to capacity and not only to coverage, and that will go on. We have we designed the network to have a peak hour of, I think it's maximum 40-45% to achieve the speed design that we have in mind, and then we are below this at the moment, as you see, with the 30%. Does this answer the question?
Sure. Sure. Thanks a lot, Michael.
Thank you.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Erskine Castor from New Street Research. Please ask your question.
Sorry, you can't.
They can't hear you. Is it? Shall we move on for a while and come back? It's the last one.
Right.
So may I? Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, and yeah, and the other one was on ILD in Nepal. Basically, I was just wondering how much this was as a percentage of sales, and could you give us any guidance as to sort of the underlying growth being achieved there?
So actually, we probably have missed a couple of sentences before that. Could you repeat your
did
question?
You? Okay, yeah, sure. So my first question was on the Celcom network OpEx. I mean, I might have been a bit late onto the call, but it looks very, it looks a lot lower than previously. I think you mentioned in Q1 that it should normalize at around 70%. Seems to be a lot lower than that at the moment. I was just wondering, are you looking to keep it at current levels, or do we expect this to rise back up? Also, if you give us an idea of how this is being achieved, that would be great. And then the second question was on the ILD in Nepal. I was just wondering whether you could give us some idea of underlying growth there, and also what ILD was as a percentage of revenues. That would be great.
Okay. Azwan, number two. Jennifer, number two.
Okay, in terms of network cost, yes, Q1 we were doing about 17%. There were a couple, there were a couple of catch-up that we were doing then, especially in terms of the second half of last year to the first part of this year. The level that we're actually running now, we are expecting that to be the run rate going forward for network costs.
Okay, that's very interesting. I mean, that does look very strong. Just on that, I mean, CapEx has remained pretty low throughout that period. Do we expect CapEx to step up instead there?
Yes, we expect the CapEx to actually ramp up, especially in terms of Q4, because historically, if you look at the trending, that's how it actually trends on a yearly basis. We are targeting to actually end between 1.2 to 1.3 for end of this year.
Okay, great, thank you. Yeah, and on Nepal?
Yeah, ILD, yes. ILD as a percent of revenue has been moving. It was 50+% last year. Now moving to between 40 and 45% of total sales. The ILD decline we have seen year on year is of the order of 12%. But as I mentioned earlier, there are several initiatives to abate this degrowth.
Okay, brilliant. Thank you very much. That's very helpful.
Thank you.
Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone or simply type your question in the Ask a Question box and click Send. We will now proceed with questions from the webcast portal. I will hand the call to Claire Shan, Head of Axiata Investor Relations.
Thank you, moderator. Okay, we have one question from Prem from Macquarie on XL. The question is, should SIM registration also reduce acquisition costs as well? So should EBITDA be preserved, or can we expect to see some pressure on EBITDA as well? Question for XL.
Lance?
Yeah, okay. Thank you, Claire. So I think generally, SIM registration definitely would reduce your acquisition costs, right? So definitely in the mid to longer term is going to be positive from an EBITDA perspective. However, I think we probably have seen in some markets as well, right? I mean, especially in year one, the first year of implementation, I mean, a lot of operators probably would see some opportunity in terms of gaining market share, in terms of trying to drive customers over to your network, right? So typically, there are probably some investment and aggression from a marketing perspective. to probably gain some market share at the initial stage of the prepaid registration. Hence, I think probably shorter term, that's probably going to be some investment coming in over there. But generally, I think if you move on to the mid and longer term, I think acquisition costs will definitely come down as a result of prepaid registration. And as churn comes down as well, I think it's probably going to reduce your overall sales and marketing.
Okay, number one. Yeah, there are two more. What did you say?
Okay, there's no more questions from the webcast. Back to moderator, please.
There are no further questions at this time. We will now pass the call back to Chantry. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Thanks for joining us for the third quarter results announcement. We will, again, just to remind, hopefully most or all of you could join us for next week's investors or analyst conference so that we can have even more discussion. Thank you again for joining us. Good night.
Thank you.